and spend time studying your word. We do pray for Buddy and these men who are on this trip who are having these symptoms. Lord, you know exactly what's going on. We pray that you would touch them and heal them. Do pray for the Prillhart family today as Mark is sick now. And, of course, Kim just getting over the sickness and Lauren is sick. We pray that you would just touch them and minister to them. I think Kayla maybe is sick today also. And, Lord, a lot of sickness around. Just pray you touch folks and strengthen them and help them in these times. Do pray for Ethan, Lord, that he would continue to heal. Now, after this accident, that you would raise him back to health. Lord, work in him physically and spiritually, Lord, and just meet the needs there, we pray. And pray for Rachel's unspoken, Lord. You know the need. And pray that you would just intervene in her behalf. And, Lord, another situation here in our class that we've been praying about. God, you know the great need there. And pray that you would continue to work in this situation and might be resolved for your glory. And just work in hearts, we pray. Also think of Tammy as she's having some heart issues now. And pray that you would give the doctors wisdom as she has this testing done to show exactly what's going on. Continue to help Amelia now as she sees a specialist and that they'd be able to help her. And for Josh, as he is having some after effects now of this chemo treatments, we pray you'd work in his life. Thank you. His cancer numbers have come down. And Lord, just really help him and touch him now. And Lord, ask you to bless as we look at your word this morning and speak to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as most of you know, at Thanksgiving, Joe and Sarah were here and of course, brought Lily and Owen with them. And during that period, there were several times when they would come to me, especially Lily, would say, "Pops, can you do this for me?" Now, is any good grandpa, you know, hallelujah, sure, you know, and we help him out. And I was going to tell you what those things were, but I think that's part of being a grandfather, too. I don't remember what they were, but there were other times that, you know, a child will say, I do it myself. You ever heard that, you know? And you watch them, and they're kind of fuddling along, and sometimes they fail and it doesn't get done, but they wanted to do it themselves. And, you know, for a little child, it's not all that big a deal, but we're going to study the life of a man who we see both of these aspects in his life. And he reigned for 41 years. For 36 of those years, he was a man who trusted in the Lord and rested in the Lord. Tragically, the last 5 or 6 years of his life, he quit trusting in the Lord, began to trust in other things. And I guess the question for all of us this morning is, some of you do have great needs going on in your life, what are you relying on? In the end, what are you trusting in? When you need help, when you've got a situation in your life, where do you go? What do you trust in? So we're going to look tonight, or this morning, at the life of a man named Asa. He was the third king of the tribe of Judah, or the kingdom of Judah in the south. Let's real quickly kind of remind ourselves of the kings here. My goal is to do this every Sunday. By the time we're done, you will know all the kings in the right order of both tribes. All right? It's going to be exciting. You know, great dinner conversation. By the way, do you know the fifth king of Israel? I mean, you know. So let's review. The kingdom of Israel, which would be the northern tribes, who was the first king? Now, some of you said Saul, he was the first king of the combined kingdom. Who was the second king of the combined? We'll just start there. David was the second king. Who was the third king? Solomon. You're on a roll. Good. Now we have a divided kingdom. And Israel, the north, was ruled by what man? Jeroboam. Very good. We're going to meet the third one today, a guy named Baasha. There's another one in the middle there, and we'll meet him later on. But if you go now to the southern kingdom, that was their first king was Rehoboam. The second one we studied last week, 2 weeks ago, maybe a name we may not remember. Abijah, very good. Abijam. When he trusted the Lord, he was Abijah. When he did not, he was Abijam. There you go. You can remember that now. And we're going to meet the next king this morning. And his name was Asa, a man named Asa. So let's start in 1 Kings 15. 1 Kings 15, and let's read a little bit. Now, the reason I have you turning to both Chronicles and Kings, obviously there's a dual record of his rule. In Chronicles, it's three chapters. In Kings, it's about half a chapter. So we're going to be bouncing around a little bit, getting information from both places. So you're in 1 Kings 15. In the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah. And 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Absalom. Now, I want to stop there just a second. That name may seem familiar to you. Do you remember hearing that name, Maacah, before? It wasn't all that long ago. In fact, you look back in chapter, you're in chapter 15, look at verse 2. And we're talking about Abijam, and it says, 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Absalom. Wait a minute. What in the world? Now, there are several confusing things, and as we compare texts sometimes in Scripture, there are some confusing things. We want to deal with both of those. But later on in this passage, notice in verse 11, and Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. Wait a minute. Was David his father? No, he was a great-great-great-grandfather, okay? And so you see right away that in Scripture there are times in the Old Testament when the word father or mother are used in a generic way to refer to someone in the line. And we think what probably happened was that Asa's mother may have died. And so Maacah, who was his grandmother, not his mother, is the queen at this point when he comes to rule. Okay, now that won't change your life, but I just want to throw that out at you. And by the way, let me take a little rabbit trail here real quickly. When you go to Scripture as a believer and you find passages that seem to contradict, when you approach those, what must your first belief be? Okay, I don't understand, but even before that. Okay, this is God's word and it's true. Now, an unbeliever, when he sees those things, his whole outlook when he looks at Scripture is, it's not true, and I'm trying to find out contradictions to prove it's not true. We as believers say, wait a minute, we know that this is God's word, it's all true, so we approach it and we say, all right, there must be an answer. What could it possibly be? So I'm giving you a possible explanation, and we're going to face this a little later as we move on. So here's Asa. He did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and he took away, verse 12, the Sodomites out of the land, removed all the idols that his fathers had made, and also Maacah, his mother, or his grandmother, even her he removed from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove, and Asa destroyed her idol and burned it by the brook Kidron. But the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. And he brought in the things which his father had dedicated, the things which himself had dedicated, into the house of the Lord, silver and gold and vessels. So, as you remember, under Rehoboam, they had become a idol-worshipping people that had continued under Abijam. And now Asa comes on the scene, and it's interesting to me, here is a man who had a wicked grandmother, we don't know much about his mother, a wicked father, and yet the record of Scripture says he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Now, how many of you were raised in a Christian home? Your parents are believers, they had you in church. All right, the majority of us. How many of you were not raised in a Christian home? That should be the rest of you, okay? It's interesting to me. I think there are times, and I was speaking to one of our class members a couple weeks ago, and they were telling me about the difficulty of their past and how hard it was to overcome. I just want to remind you, here is a man named Asa who had a very wicked heritage. And yet, God did a work in his heart. And here is a man who Scripture says did right in the sight of the Lord. And you know, our past is important, but God can overcome our past. And by the way, just because your parents are believers doesn't mean you're going to live right either, does it? There are a lot of parents that had kids and they were believers, and boy, their kids are wild as all get out. You know, it's just all the grace of God, isn't it? And if you're here today and you love God and want to serve Him, no matter what your past is, it's just the grace of God. It's just the grace of God. So here's a man named Asa, and he goes to work right away, and he takes all the idols out of the land. He destroys the idols, he burns them, he gets rid of them. And it says here that it's interesting, it says in verse 14, but the high places were not removed. Now hold your place there, and I want to turn to 2 Chronicles 14:5. And I want to give you another contradiction in Scripture. Okay? Now, don't go to sleep after that statement, okay? 2 Chronicles 14:5. Also, he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. Now, I've got a problem. Because in 2 Chronicles, it said he took away the high places. In 1 Kings, it said he didn't take away the high places. Here is a contradiction of Scripture. The Bible is not true. Now again, some of you are awake for the first time in months. Again, as believers, we go to the Word of God and we say, I know the Bible is true. Now here's my opinion. When we get to heaven, we'll know for sure. But in 1 Kings, in 2 Chronicles, it's talking about the high places that where they worshiped idols. And my opinion is this, that he went in and he destroyed all the high places where they were worshiping idols. These high hills, these places where they would put idols and so forth. He destroyed all those. There were also high places where they were worshiping Jehovah. They were worshiping the true God. Now, where were they supposed to worship Jehovah? At the temple in Jerusalem. And my opinion is that he destroyed the places where they worshiped the idols. He did not destroy the places where they worshiped Jehovah. Now, you may have a different opinion, and your opinion is as good as mine, maybe better than mine. But I think a lot of times when we teach the Word of God, we just kind of skip over these things. Commentators typically do that. Commentators will wax eloquent on the easy stuff. Then they get to the hard stuff and it's like, okay, they just skip over that. I don't want to do that, because what if somebody comes to you someday and says, hey, Scott, I just want to know, buddy, I've been reading the Bible and it says here the king took the high places down and said, Bible must not be true. And I want you to be able to have an answer to say, hey, here's a possible answer, because I know the Bible's true. Okay, you with me so far? How have I totally lost? Okay, all right, good. Glad you're still with us. All right. So, here he comes in, and he begins to clean the place up, and he removes the idols. And the second thing we see him do, he removes his grandmother from being queen. Now, think about that. His grandmother was a heathen. She was an idol worshiper. She had set up an Ashtaroth, which is the immoral sexual goddess that had all kinds of wickedness involved with that worship. She had set up this idol. So here he comes in. Now remember, this is his grandmother. This is the queen. And he comes into her and says, you're out of here. I mean, this guy showed a real faith in God. Now think about that. I mean, he gets rid of the idols. And he comes in, he throws his grandmother out. And he takes a stand for God. I mean, here is a guy, folks, who really loved God and really trusted in God. You should be back in 1 Kings 15. Look in verse 15. And he brought in the things which his father had dedicated, and the things which himself had dedicated into the house of the Lord, silver, gold. I mean, he is reestablishing the temple worship. I mean, this guy is going all out for God. This is great stuff. I mean, what an example. Now, the third thing we see, and flip over to 2 Chronicles 14. And you come down to verse 9, It says, there came out against him Zerah, the Ethiopian, with a host of 1,000,000. How many is that?
A million.
So here comes the million-man army. Okay, didn't we have a million-man march years ago or something like that? Anyway, the million-man army. So this is a massive army, okay? Now, according to my figures in other verses, it showed that Asa had an army of about 580,000, okay? So here comes this guy with a million men, 300 chariots, and he comes to fight Asa. Now, what's Asa going to do? Well, let's read the story. It says, verse 10, then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephatha at Merisha. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go into, against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. Wow. So he comes to battle, a million against 580,000. He's on the wrong end of that. And what does he do? He prays. So he is, who is he trusting in for the victory? God, undoubtedly. I mean, it's very clear here. Here he is, and this is early in his reign. This army comes in. He is fully trusting God, resting on the Lord. So what happens? Verse 12. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa, before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away very much spoil. I mean, they just cleaned house. God gave them the victory. So here's Asa. He comes to reign. And man, talk about trusting God. He trusts God so much, he throws out the idolaters. He throws out his grandmother. He goes to fight against this mighty multitude. He trusts God. God gives him the great victory. I mean, here is what an example of a man who trusted in God. Now, I want you to see the results of that. What happens when you trust God? Well, there's a great victory, but look in chapter 15 of 2 Chronicles. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. What a promise. What's he saying? If you go God's way, God's going to go your way. What a deal. I mean, here's this great victory. And the prophet says, look, buddy, you've done good, man. That's great. Now, just keep following the Lord. And the Lord's going to continue to help you. I mean, God is going to help you in all kinds of ways. Just keep seeking the Lord. He'll be found of you. Wow. Wouldn't you like to have a promise like that from God? We do. Are you serious? Sure. And there are others in the Old Testament. Jeremiah 29:13 says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart. You say, but wait a minute, Gary, that's Old Testament. We're New Testament believers. Well, how about James 4:8? Listen, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Wow. What a promise. You know what God is telling us, folks? God says, I'm here. I'm here. I haven't gone anywhere. I haven't moved. If you need help, I'm here. And if you draw nigh to me, he said, I'm going to draw nigh to you. And he said, I'm going to help you. There's a great reward. Wow. And I'm going to come back to that in a moment in another passage. So this is great reward promised to him. Secondly, great reforms were practiced. I won't take a whole lot of time here, but in verse 8 through 19, the altar of God was renewed, the worship was renewed, the sacrifices were renewed, the covenant was restored, the treasures were taken back into the house of God. But what's the point, folks? When you obey God, what does God do? God blesses. Obedience brings blessing. And here is a man for 36 years, or 35, however it breaks down, who said, you know what? I'm going God's way. I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to trust in the Lord when it comes to battle. And boy, God blessed them and gave them peace in the land. For 35 years, he had peace as he ruled. 35 years. He ruled 41 years. 35 years he had peace. Wow. What a great thing when we learn to trust in the Lord. Now I want you just for a moment to stop and think about your own life. What are you relying on? What are you trusting in? You say, well, Gary, I was saved 50 years ago and I've been trusting the Lord 50 years. Now it's getting a little tougher. I don't know if this is true in every case, but it seems to me, as I deal with my dad, deal with other folks or elderly, that sometimes, even though you walk with the Lord your whole life, you get up in those other, you know, and you start losing some of the mental capacities and things. And I started that when I was 36, I think. But that trusting the Lord becomes more difficult sometimes even in the later years than they do in the earlier years. Now, I don't know. That's not always the case. And I'm not making a blanket statement. But it sure happened with this guy. Because for 35 years, he is a poster boy for relying on the Lord. And trusting in the Lord and doing the Lord's will. And I wish that's where the story ended. But unfortunately, it is not. So we've seen the faithful years of Asa. Secondly, the faithless years of Asa. For the last 6 years of his life, things changed. You're in 2 Chronicles. Look at chapter 16. And it says, in the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah. Now, again, let's review real quickly. He would have been which number of kings of the northern tribes? First, let me give you a multiple choice. 1, 2, or 3? 3 is the correct answer. Very good, good. The third king, and he comes up to fight against, or actually comes down to fight against him. And it says he begins to build this city called Ramah. Look at verse 1. To the intent that he might let none go out or come into Asa, king of Judah. So he comes about 5 miles in Jerusalem and builds this city for what purpose? What would you call this? Blockade. Exactly right. Here's a history buff. Civil War, obviously. Good. And he builds a blockade, trying to keep everybody from going in and out, cutting off supplies, doing all these things. And so Asa's got a problem. How, you know, he's obviously picking a fight. He wants to cut him off. Asa's got a problem, and Asa's got a decision to make. Now, knowing Asa's past, okay, what do you think Asa would do? Knowing his past, pray to the Lord, say, Lord, here's this crazy guy coming down from the north. He's built a city. Lord, help us. What are we going to do? Help us. Pray, okay? What does he do? Well, it says in verse 2, then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord of the king's house and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, there's a league between me and thee as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. Wow, whoa, wait a minute. What happened to this guy? No word of trusting in the Lord. In fact, he's going to be rebuked for that momentarily. But he takes the money out of the treasury, takes the money out of the temple, the treasures out of the temple, and he goes to Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, who had a treaty with Baasha, and he said, hey, come and help me. I'm going to pay you to help me. What? He went to a heathen king to get help? Now, what happens? Well, you would think, well, he disobeyed God. He didn't trust in God. I mean, he's going to fail, right? Actually, everything worked out great. You say, wait a minute, that's not how it's supposed to work. He does all of this, and King Ben-Hadad comes in and goes and fights against Baasha, moves out. They get the city back. They tear it down. They build other cities. Things are just hunky-dory. Things are wonderful. Until verse 7. And at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. You see what the prophet is saying? God wanted to give you a great victory, not only over Baasha, but also over Ben-Hadad. But because you didn't trust God, you're going to have trouble now. And we're going to find out he had war the rest of his life because he didn't trust the Lord. Look at verse 8. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. Now, if you've caught nothing so far, listen to verse 9. This is a great verse. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Wow, what a verse. What is God doing today? God's looking. Think about this. God is looking at the Victory Bible class. He's looking at every one of us. What's he looking for? He's looking for somebody who wants to do something for him, whose heart is right toward him. Because he's looking for somebody to use. Somebody he can empower to do the work of God. Isn't that a great verse? The eyes of the Lord, they're running to and fro. He's looking, he's searching for people that he can empower and make strong to do the work of God. Wow, what a verse. What a verse. Unfortunately, it didn't happen with Asa. Isn't it an amazing thought to think that God is looking for people that he can step alongside and say, okay, buddy, let's go. I'm going to help you. Let's do it. Let's do it. And if Asa had just relied upon the Lord, not only would he have defeated Baasha, but he would have defeated Ben-Hadad. But he didn't do it. And he actually contributed to the downfall of the northern tribes. Because they didn't rely on the Lord. What a sad thing. But before we condemn him too much, we probably ought to do a little self-examination. Because if we do what comes naturally, we're not going to trust in the Lord either. We're going to trust in our own abilities, our own skills, our own talents, our own wisdom, our own knowledge. And we go through life relying upon ourselves. We don't get much done. Folks, God in heaven is sitting waiting for you to say, hey, Dad, could you help me here? He is. He is. And in James he says, ye have not. Why? Because ye ask not. And I want you just to think about this week in your life. Were you relying upon the Lord? Were you asking the Lord for help? And by the way, that's a good way to know if you're relying on the Lord. If you're asking him. If you're going to him and saying, Lord, I've got this situation. Can you help me? And God is just waiting for you to say, hey, help. I need a little help here. Wow. I wonder how many times God is just sitting up in heaven. I know God knows all things. And he watches it and he says, I'd love to help you. If you just ask. I mean, I'm just sitting here waiting. Just waiting to help you. Just waiting to empower you. You know, like my illustration in the beginning. With the parent or the grandparent sitting there watching the kid going, Wow. Just if you just ask, you know, I'd love to help. I really would love to help you. I just wonder how often that's going on in heaven. The Lord just says, man, you know, I'm your dad. I have all power. I know everything. Just ask. Just ask. But because we don't rely on the Lord, we don't see the power of God in our lives. Well, he did not trust God in the battle. And we see one other thing about him in chapter 16, verse 12. It says, an Asa in the 39th year of his reign, remember he reigned 41 years, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceedingly great. Yet in his disease, and again, we stop, we say, wait a minute, what's he going to do? You know, it's this, here's this guy that when he was faced with this multitude of a million man army with 300 chariots, boy, he begged God, oh, help me, help me. Here's a man who relied on God and he took out the idolatry and the sodomy and his own grandmother and did all these things. What's he going to do? Is he, Lord, I got this problem. I got this disease. What am I? Now, by the way, is it wrong to go to doctors? No. But notice what it says here. Where did he place his faith? What was he relying on totally to help him? Yet in his disease, he sought not the Lord, but to the physicians. I'm not against doctors. God has given doctors wisdom, understanding, ability to use medicine, all of these things. But in the end, who are you relying on when you get sick? Who are you relying on? Here's a man who spent 35 years. Now, we don't know how old he was when he began to reign, but he reigned for 35 years, and God blessed him and used him in a mighty way because he simply relied on the Lord and trusted in the Lord. But sadly, the last 6 years of his life, of his reign, he began to trust in man and not in God. You know, it behooves us as believers. We can say, well, Gary, I've been saved 50 years. I've been saved 60 years. I've been saved 70 years, whatever. I'm just kind of on cruise control on my way to heaven, you know. And, well, you get on cruise control, buddy, you may run into a bridge. It's like these guys trusting this new driverless cars, you know. It works great until a semi pulls out in front of me. The car doesn't see it, you know. And I tell you, believers, it behooves us to continually abide in the Lord. You say, well, you know, I used to read my Bible. When I first got saved, I was a new believer. I really needed the Bible. And so I read the Bible and I prayed and stuff. But man, I've been saved 30 years now. You know, I got it made now. I it's just piece of cake and just. What does the Bible tell you? Talk to people like that. Wherefore, he that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. Boy, it behooves us to walk with the Lord. I was reading my devotions a couple weeks ago, and the Apostle Paul, as he is toward the end of his life, I mean, here is a man who is a great saint of God, and he says toward the end of his life in 1 Corinthians 9:27, he says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Boy, that spoke to my heart. And believer, let me ask you, are you trusting in the Lord? Are you relying on the Lord? Some of you are going through some great valleys, some difficult times. Where are you? What are you trusting in? What are you relying upon? Now, anytime we rely on ourselves or other people or finances or a bank account or whatever, we are in big trouble, folks. And God is sitting in heaven just waiting for you to call. Help! And yet we trudge on our way merrily saying, well, I can do this. I can make it. What in the world? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. I can do all things, what are the next two words? Through Christ. And we have too many believers going around saying, I can do all things. And we leave out the rest of the verse. Through Christ which strengtheneth me. Just want to encourage you today and exhort you today. Folks, when you got saved, you were adopted into the family of God. You became a child of God. He is your heavenly Father. He is the greatest resource we could ever have. He is there to help us. He wants to help us. He's looking for people to show himself strong in their behalf. Let me ask you a question. Are you a candidate? Are you saying, Lord, here, I'm here. I'm here. I need your help. I will step out by faith and do what you want me to do, trusting in you. Lord, here I am. You help. You help. Are you trusting? What are you trusting in today? What are you relying on today to have your needs met? Now, let's be like Asa in the first 35 years, okay? Not the last six, okay? Let's learn to be Christians who walk by faith, relying upon the Lord in all things, okay? Lord, we do thank you for this example here, and Lord, help us as believers today, no matter what our situation is, to be people who are trusting in you, relying on you, looking to you for help in time of need. You are a great God, a powerful God, a wise God, and help us as believers to run to you, run to the fortress, run to the tower, run to the shield, and be helped in time of need, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.